Brachos Daf Nun Tes. We are starting on Nun Chesmad Base. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, about 15 lines from the bottom. We're starting with the words Al Hazikin. Our mission introduced us to the idea at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos that Chachmei Yisrael introduced us to Brachos that are said when one sees nature. These are Birchos Hashevach. As such, when one sees the natural wonders of the world as they were at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, so it wants us to make a Bracha. There are two Brachos that our mission introduced us to. One being Osam Asabrashis, and the second one is Kocho Ugvraso Male Olam. Later, we're going to be discussing when one says the bracha of Maasabrashis versus the bracha of Kocho Ugvraso Male Olam. In the meantime, however, we're going to be starting in the Gemara describing Zikin. Zikin are the comets. Just a brief word of introduction. We're going to be doing a little bit of astrology in the Gemara. Astronomy, the science of the stars and how the cosmos works. Astrology is basically the stars from our perspective, how the stars look and influence our world from our perspective. Astrology is something that goes deep into our traditions, and admittedly, I know very little on this particular topic, but the Gemara is assuming that there is this science of astrology. And so when one understands that, so one can understand the Gemara a little bit better. My understanding is basic, so my understanding of the Gemara, of course, becomes then basic. But the basic idea is that there are astrological symbols in the heavens. If you look at various stars and the way that they present themselves as various patterns, so we will notice that there are various shapes that take on, and these shapes are constellations. The number of constellations that exist within the stars are many. However, we definitely have identified 12 of them that are representative of the 12 months of the lunar year. Each one of the Jewish calendaric years is going to be associated with a constellation. And the reason why that is because as the sun makes its annual progression around the earth, I understand the actuality is that the earth revolves around the sun. I'm just describing it from our perspective. So what the sun does, in addition going from east to west, it also goes north-south depending on the seasons. In the equinoxes, the sun is hitting the equator, and then on the solstices, the sun is hitting the most northern and southern tip of its trajectory. As such, it's going to be running through the various constellations. Now, this is hard for us to see because when the sun is out, the stars is not out, and when the stars are out, the sun is not out. So it's hard to see it through the constellation, but if you just simply track the path of the sun and you see it now as if the stars were there, you will notice that the sun makes its way through the various constellations. In the course of the year, the sun is going to be going through 12 different constellations. Hence, in a year, you can have the various constellations representing each one of the months. Again, very basic, but that is the idea behind the constellations as it relates to the month. The Gemara now is going to be describing that when you see a Zikin, so one makes a bracha, and of course it prompts the Gemara to ask the question, my Zikin, what exactly is Zikin? Amr Shmuel kol chavad deshavad, it is a shooting star. Ve'amr Shmuel nehirinli shvila deshmaya keshvila deneharda. The pathways of the heaven are as clear to me as the pathways of the city of Neharda, my hometown. Meaning he has a expertise towards astronomy and astrology. The bar mi kol chavad deshavad, with exception to the kol chavad deshavad, that which we're describing, de lo yedena my niu, I don't know what it is. Now, what he could be ignorant about is just simply its schedule and when it's going to come. However, he does teach us the following tradition of Gemir. We have learned, Elo Avar Kisla, it doesn't go through the constellation of Kisla. Kisla is translated as Orion, one of the constellations, V'i Avar Kisla, Charev Amma. If a shooting comet would be going through Kisla, the world would be destroyed. V'haka Chazina D'Avar. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that empirically we do see that a comet goes through Kisla, so the Gemara has a number of suggestions of how to deal with this problem. In other words, balancing the empirical view versus the tradition that Shmuel has. One, Zivuhu David, Mischazik David Ihu. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that we're not really seeing the comet going through the constellation of Kisla. We're just simply seeing an after image of it going through. A second possibility, Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yeshua Amar, Vilonhu Demikra. It's not really a comet that is going through, but rather the Vilon is torn. The way the Chachmei Yisrael view the world is that the heavens above us is really a dome, and it's seven domes, one on top of another. The one that is closest to us, most proximate to us, is Vilon, and the one above it is Rakia, and then another five on top of that as well. So the Rakia is where the lights are, the sun and the luminaries are in the Rakia. And so when it's nighttime, the Vilon, so to say, is kind of put below it, so that it blocks the light. This is how they view the phenomena of the world, the night. And so what we're seeing is a tear in the vilon, and that's the light that's emerging, but it's not really a comet that's going through Kisla. And that's why it gives the light, it gives it the impression that there is the light, but it's really the light of the rekia that's shining through. And the third answer of the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar Kochavahu Da'arka Mehagisa De'Kisla V'Chazalei Chavrei Mehagisa. What it is it's one star jumping from one side of Kisla to the other side of Kisla, Umibais Umechzei Kamanda Avar, giving the impression that it's a shooting comet going through, but really it's just a star starting over here and ending up over there. It's kind of like motion pictures, where you see a picture and then you see another picture, and it gives the impression that the light actually is going through. Okay, so various explanations of the Amoraim in terms of how it is that we're balancing the tradition that Shmuel has, that no shooting comet can go through Kisla, and meanwhile it does in fact go through Kisla. Shmuel Ramiksiv, Shmuel notes a discrepancy between Psukim, Osa Ashksil v'Kima. Pasuk and Eov describing the constellations, three constellations, that of Ash, Ksil, and Kima. So the order he has is that first Ksil, then Kima, Uksiv, and then we have another Pasuk, Ose Kima, Uksil. That is just the opposite, first Kima, then Ksil, HaKesad. Well, which way is the correct order that the constellation should be presented? Umale, Chamashok Ksil, Loniskayim, Olam, Imne, Sinashok Kima. Umale, Sinashok Kima, Loniskayim, Olam, Imne, Chamashok Ksil. And the balance he goes on to explain is the fact that there are cosmic ramifications and worldly ramifications that come out from these constellations, and that Kima is responsible for the cold and Ksil is responsible for the heat. And so what happens as a result of that is that they counterbalance one another so that the world can conduct itself in somewhere in between, not being too cold, not being too hot. Ugimir, we have a tradition. Yilav uksa da akrav da manach manahar dinor. And also the constellation of Scorpio, its tail is dipping into what the Gemara describes as Nahar Dinah. Nahar Dinah literally translates as a river of fire. Maybe the Gemara is making reference to the Milky Way over here as a possibility. And Komanda Havetrikale Akrava. Now, in this world, again, the cosmos has influences of what happens in this world. And in this world, if anyone would have been bitten by a scorpion, Lavechaye. Had it not been for the fact that the tail goes, dips into this Nahar Dinor, so then nobody would be able to survive the bite of a scorpion. Somehow, in ways that I cannot articulate, it mitigates the effects of the bite of a scorpion in this world. And this idea is expressed in Eov, this balance between Kima and Kisla. Hitkasher madanos kina o moshchos ksil tipateach. This idea that there's a balance between Kima and Kisla. My Kima, in terms of the name, Kima receiving its actual name, what is encrypted in the name itself, the etymology of the word. It's 100 stars. Amrilad de mechanfe. Some say it's when they are gathered close together, like clusters. And some say that they're spread out. My Ash, in terms of the constellation of Ash, Amr Rav Yehuda Yusa. So that is a constellation that was known better at their time as Yusa. My Yusa, Amrila Zanav Tleh. It is the tail of Aries. Va'amrila Reisha de Igla. Some say it's the head of the eagle, Taurus. Umistabakamanda Amr Zanav Tleh. But the Gemara says, but it's more favorable to say that it's the tail of Tleh Dichsiv, because we have another pasuk in Iyova Aish al Banea Tenachem. That Aish, or also what we just described as being Ash, is mourning the loss of her children, meaning a couple of stars left Ash. Amar Chasra Mischazia Ke Tarfa de Tarf, as we are now on the top of the New Testament Aleph. So some of the stars of Ash have been removed, and it looks like something was torn off from Ash. The Haida Azla Basra, now as far as Ash following Kima as the constellation is concerned, so it's basically, the Gemara is giving us a powerful imagery, and that is, it's as if Ash is pleading with Kima, Damrele Havli Bani, bring me back my sons. Meaning two of the stars were taken off of Ash and given to Kima, and Ash is kind of like chasing after Kima in order to get back her stars that were taken off. Now, a little bit better understanding of what's going on over here. Why has Ash been depleted of its stars? Why was it given to Kima? So the Gemara here gives us the background in terms of what happened over here. Shebisha'a, Shakarash Baruch Hu Bikesh Lahavi Mabula Olam, when Akash Baruch Hu wanted to bring the flood during the Yemei Noach, Natoshne Kochavim Kima, he took two stars from Kima, Vehevi Mabula Olam, and brought a flood to the world. Now remember, we learned just moments earlier that Kima is responsible for the cold. And it is only because it's counterbalanced by Kisla. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do was not only flood the world, but flood the world, but flood it with boiling water. The Gemara elsewhere talks specifically why it had to have been boiling water, with Mida Keneged Mida, based on the way that the people at the time behaved. But he took two stars away, and Ukushabikesh Lasisma. Now, as far as when he wanted to plug it back in again, Natoshne Kochavim Ayish Vesisma. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took two stars from Ayish in order to replace the two stars that he took away from Kima. All right, so now we know why it is that Ash is missing those stars, because two stars were taken away in order to replace the two stars that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from Kima in order to make the flood. And the Gemara's got a lot of follow-up questions. Why not just simply replace the stars of Kima with the stars of Kima that he took off? The Gemara presents a phenomena that we saw already earlier in the Masechta, which is that a pit cannot be filled in with the dirt that you remove from the pit. Inami, alternatively, in kategor naase sanegar. Also, we can't have the stars that were used to destroy the world end up becoming the same stars which are going to be there to preserve the world as well. Why not make two new stars? Because there is nothing new under the sun. And so two new stars cannot be made. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return the stars. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eov, are you going to be able to comfort and console? And are you going to be able to provide the stars back to Ayish? And the answer, of course, is no. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself could do so. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do so. Adkan, that is the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding Zikin over the comments, and a supplementary piece in the Gemara giving us a little bit of insight into constellations and to the best, of course, of my own understanding. Ala Zivaos, now we are describing earthquake. My Zivaos, the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is the word Zivaos making reference to? I'm Rav Kitina Goa. So Rav Kitina says that we're describing an earthquake. Rav Kitina, Bakazo Baorcha, the Gemara tells the following story. Rav Kitina was going on the way. Kimata apischa debeuba tamya ganaf goa. And as Rav Kitina was going on the way, he came across the entrance of Beuva Tamya. Beuva Tamya was a necromancer. The word uva probably comes from the word ov, which is the Torah's description of a necromancer. Tamya over here in this context means bones. And he performed his necromancy using the bones of a human being. The Gemara in Sanhedrin gives more detail in terms of how exactly this was performed. Not many more details, but anyway, so Nagach Goha. Meanwhile, as he was passing by the house, so an earthquake started rumbling. Amar miyada ubatamya haigisa mahu, mahai goha mahu. And so Rav Kitina asks this ubatamya, do you understand how it is, why it is that there are earthquakes in this world? Now, the Gemara is going to be giving explanations, and there are going to be a total of five explanations as we go through the next little bit of Gemara together. Each one of these explanations is not interested in giving a scientific explanation in terms of why there is an earthquake, but rather the metaphysical explanation, meaning what exactly is the earthquake a response to? The assumption the Gemara makes throughout is that everything that occurs in this world is min hashamayim. It comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a response. And generally speaking, almost exclusively, it's a response to the Jewish people. And so the Gemara wants to know now, what exactly is the root cause that that brings about an earthquake? Not the scientific explanation, but rather what is really behind it. So the question was first posed to Ubatamya. And he was asked, what exactly is the cause of the earthquake? Ramale Kala, so he raises his voice, Ketina, Ketina, Amai lo Yadana. He says to Ketina, how could you not know? B'shasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu zokers banav, shershuim b'tzar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds himself that his children are in pain, bein umas ha'olam, living amongst the nations of the world, morish de demaos, liyam ha'gado. So he drops two of his teardrops into the amagado, v'kolo nishma misofa olam v'atsofa. And its reverberations go over the world over. V'hainu goa, and this is the goa, and that's the phenomena of the earthquake. That is Ubatamya's explanation. Rav Kitina ubatamya kedivhu umile kedivin. Rav Kitina was not impressed with this explanation. He said that ubatamya himself is a liar, and his words are lies. Ihachi goa goa mi baile. If it's two teardrops of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it should be an earthquake followed then by another earthquake. Velohi. Now the Gemara immediately dismisses this rejection. Goa goa of it. In fact, when you have an earthquake, there are reverberations. The Gemara here could be making reference to the aftershocks of an earthquake. Vahai the low o delay, but he just didn't want to give any credence whatsoever to the opinion of Ubatamya ki hecha de lalita kulama abasre, because he didn't want people to be seduced by his knowledge of the forces, and eventually be misled by him, not just in terms of his scientific explanation, but also his religion as well. And so Rav Ketina didn't want to give him any credence, even though the Gemara acknowledges that in this particular issue, this Subatamia may be correct. Rav Ketina Didei Omer Sofek Kafav. Rav Ketina says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clapping his hands. Shenemar V'gamani Ake Kapi Al Kapi V'Anechosi Chamasi. And that way his anger is going to be abated. A third explanation, Rabbi Nelson Omer Anacham Etanech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is groaning. Shenemar V'Hinachosi Chamasi Bam V'Hinachamti. And a fourth explanation, Rabban Amri Boed Barakia, Kadosh Baruch Hu is kicking the heavens, Shenemar Heidad Kedorchim Ya'aneh El Kol Yoshvei Ha'aretz. It's like the treading of the grapes. Kadosh Baruch Hu is trampling, and that is creating the earthquake. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, Dochik Es Raglav Tachas Kisei HaKavod. He's pushing down on the earth as its footstool, Shenemar Kor Amar Hashem HaShemayim Kisiva Ha'aretz Hadom Raglai. These five different explanations that are given by the Gemara in terms of the earthquake, so going to make an obvious point, but a really important point, and that is that a number of these imageries has a Kadosh Baruch Hu with human characteristics. Now, obviously, Yisoda is one of the fundamentals of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that he's incorporeal. There is nothing physical whatsoever about him. And this is an example of anthropomorphism, where we are ascribing human characteristics to a Kadosh Baruch Hu only so that we can understand to our limited ability. So in the sense that we clap our hands or that we kick or that we push down, so we assign that characteristic to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only so that we can have some understanding. And even as I say that, there obviously has to be subtle differences between the earthquake is caused by a clap versus a kick versus a pushing down on the footstool. And I'm not in a position where I can explain these subtle differences, but clearly the Gemara over here is communicating subtle ideas in terms of these differences. Anyway, that is all the explanations of an earthquake. Not scientific, but the Gemara's explanations. Continuing in the Gemara, my of Al Ha-Ra'amim. My Ra'amim, Amar Shmuel, Anane Begalgla. Now the Gemara is going to be giving explanations, various explanations for thunder. It's interesting now because the Gemara's explanations for thunder are going to be scientific explanations. I say scientific, not modern science, but the science as they understood it back then. And it's really interesting where by the earthquake, the Gemara was only interested in the metaphysics and what caused the earthquake to come. In other words, what precipitated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standpoint. And when describing now the thunder, the Gemara is only going to be giving its worldview, its scientific view. And just interesting that the Gemara over here looks at it just from the worldly view. So my ramim, my mishmal, and then begagale. So it is the rubbing of clouds one against the other. Shenemer kol ramcha begagal. A second explanation, Rabbana Amre, Anani Deshavche Maya Lahadade. Clouds pouring water from one to the other, Shenamar Lakosito Hamon Mayim Bishamayim. A third explanation, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, Barkat Kifa. It is the sound that's produced from the lightning. The Barak Ba'anane, the lightning cracks in the clouds, Umitaber Geziza Dabarza, and breaks off pieces of the cloud. Gemara's explanation of why it is that we have hail that comes down from the heavens. But anyway, the thunder is a product of the lightning. And Rav Ashi Amar Anani Cholchul Mechalchalei. A fourth explanation of the Gemara, that given by Rav Ashi, is that the clouds are hollow, va'asi zika, and along comes the wind, umenashe v'pumayu, and blows against the hollow clouds, v'dami kezika pumdane. And the Gemara says it's no different than the phenomena of blowing over a jar or over a barrel, where you're going to produce a sound. After the Gemara offering these four different explanations, the Mestaber Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, but the position of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is most Mestaber, it is most logical. Because in fact, what happens empirically is that we see the lightning, and then the clouds come in, and then the rain comes down. So it seems to be that the thunder is in fact a result of the lightning. The Gemara prefers this of all four explanations. Continuing in the Gemara of Al Haruchos, now we're talking about the winds. My Ruchos Amar Abai Za'afa. So the Abai describes it as a very strong wind. Perhaps we could describe it as a hurricane. Coming from our perspective of living in Florida, this is something that is unfortunately part of our season. And so the Gemara describes it now as this is the kind of event in which you're going to be making a bracha of Kochu Gvrasa Male Olam. Amar Abai Gemiri, we have a tradition, Zafa Balaila Lohave. The strong winds do not form at night. Vahaka Chazin Dahave, the Gemara says, yeah, but we see that it does form during the night. Hahud Ischule Biyamama. So the Gemara says, no, it started during the day, the night is just simply a continuation. Amar Abai Gemir Dezafa Tartisha Lokai. We have another tradition, says Abaye, that for 2 hours it cannot sustain. And that is pshat in the pasuk Nachum that it cannot exist for more than 2 hours. The Gemara says, yeah, but we see that it can sustain for more than 2 hours. The Gemara says, no, but there are breaks in the middle. So you do not have a continuum of more than 2 hours. Not to say that the Gemara here is making reference to a hurricane, but at least from our experiences, we know that the hurricanes come in bands, and there are, in fact, breaks in the hurricane, and it's not a continuous wind. Ala brakim omer brak shekochu gvarsam ale olam, my brakim. The Gemara wants to know, what is barak? Amar Rava barka. No, so Rava gives the Aramaic word barka, and hard to understand why they didn't see the word barka and barakim, but anyway. Amar Rava barka yechida. Rava also gives us the following tradition. If it's a single bolt of lightning, or barka chivra, or a white bolt of lightning, or barka yurakasa, or a yellow bolt of lightning, v'anane de salkan bekeren marav is v'asya mekeren dromis, or clouds that start in the west and end up in the south. V'tarti anane de salkan chadala ape chavarte. So, or you have two clouds, where one goes and meets its friend kulan kashin. These are all bad cloud coverages. And that means that there is going to be bad weather that's coming. Lamai nafkamina. And the Gemara says, okay, but practically speaking, what does that mean for us, for you and I? Lamebai rachme. So the Gemara says, well, that means that there's impending danger. And so we need to ask rachmanus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to dive in with a lot more kavanah. Bahani mili belaila. This cloud coverage is only going to be an issue at night of Abba Safra, but morning cloud coverage, leis b'hu meshasha, is not something that we need to significantly worry about. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hani Anani Desafra Leis Buhu Meshasha. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says that the morning cloud coverage does not have anything to really concern ourselves with. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, V'chastechem Ka'anan Bakar. Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is like the early morning, meaning the clouds of the early morning, meaning it's not really something that is dangerous. Amar Rav Papa L'Abaye Ha'amri Inche. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, yeah, but that goes against an adage that was popular in the day. And that is, it's kad miftach babe mitra. So when the morning opens up with rains, so bar chamra, so your donkey traveler, moch sakech, should fold up his wares vegani and lie down on the blanket and basically go to bed. The expression basically means as follows, is that when you see that it starts raining in the morning, so that means that it's going to be raining not just here, but globally. And this global rain is going to result in the fact that there's going to be plenty of produce for everybody. These donkey drivers, they make a business by just simply transporting grain from one place to another, because grain in one area could be sold at a much higher price than another area. But that's, of course, everyone assuming that they're not going to necessarily have the kind of growth that other places will have. Once you see this early morning rain, so then everyone's going to be rest assured that there's going to be plenty and the price of grain will not be driven up in any other location. So basically, if you see this kind of rain in the morning, so the donkey drivers know that there's really not going to be any money to be made. And so they're told, basically, go back to bed because there's no money to be made today. Anyway, from all this, it's clear that the morning rain is, in fact, going to bring about a lot of rain. And not like what the Gemara said earlier, that morning cloud coverage doesn't mean anything. So the Gemara says, if we're talking about a thick cloud coverage, so that is impending rain. If it's a thin morning cloud coverage, it means nothing to worry about. Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, lo nivru ra'amim, ela lifshot akmomios shebelev. The thunder is created in order to straighten the bent heart, meaning it puts fear in people. And that fear is a good thing. Shenem Rav Elokim Asak, Rosh Baruch Hu created Shiyir Melfanav, so that people would fear him. V'amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yishuv Malevi, Aroas Akeshas, Be'anan, Tzarech Shiyipol Apanav. The Gemara now turns its attention to the rainbow, and somebody who sees the rainbow should fall down on his face. Why should that be? Interesting, Rashi over here, Rashi explains that the Keshas is Kvod Hashem. It's a manifestation of God's honor, and whenever you see Kvod Hashem, so you need to bow, and so this Keshet is a manifestation of Kvod Hashem. Shenemar, and the course of pasuk from Sefer Yecheskel, Kamara Keshes Asher Yevanan v'chulei, Verev v'apol apanai. And the pasuk in Yecheskel says that exactly that's exactly his reaction when he saw the rainbow that he bowed down. Light Allah b'marav and Eretz Yisrael, they curse b'mshum demechzi kaman desagel kashasa. Because, of course, bowing down to the rainbow gives everyone the impression that you're actually bowing to the rainbow. Aval bruch evad emevar. The Gemara says, okay, so they rejected the minhag of bowing down to the rainbow, despite the fact that it was a pasuk in Yecheskel, but the impression, however, the misimpression was too strong, and so therefore they rejected that notion, but there still was a bracha to be made over the rainbow. Mai mevarech. What is going to be the nusach ha-bracha? Baruch zocher habris. So one version is that the bracha should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember the covenant. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the rainbow as a promise to Noah that he was not going to destroy the world again with a flood. The Masisa Tana and Abraisa was taught, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer Neman, Brivisov, V'kayim ben Ma'amaro. A second version of the bracha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is faithful in that he will keep the bris and kayam ben Ma'amaro, and he's going to keep his word. So Rapapa says is that we'll do is that we will join these two nuschaos together to make one nusach. And then, in fact, is the accepted nusach that one makes when seeing a rainbow. Discussion in the halacha. The Bir Halacha has this discussion in terms of how much the rainbow you have to see. And then there's also another discussion to be had in terms of whether the rainbow is something that one should be gazing at or not be gazing at. Those are discussions that are important off the daf, but certainly important discussions. Al haharim, the al hagavos, continuing in the Gemara, making a bracha over mountains and hills. Atu kol hani damar ad hashalav maisa brachus ninhu. Now, the Mishnah can be very confusing, because if you go back to the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah presents itself is that the Mishnah gives us a list of things: comets, earthquakes, thunder, winds and lightning, and the Mishnah says on those you make the bracha of kochu gvrasa malei olam. Then the Mishnah talks about mountains and hills and oceans and rivers and deserts, and for that you say osem asabrashis. And the Gemara is just wondering, well, why should that be? Meaning osem asabrashis, acts of creation, everything in the Mishnah are acts of creation, and why is it that the Mishnah seems to be breaking up that for the first listing you're making kochu gvrasa malei olam, and the second listing you're making osem asabrashis? And we know that as part of Maisa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created lightning. Amar Abaye Kroch V'tini. So the Gemara is going to give two approaches. The first approach is that of Abaye, Kroch V'tini. Abaye says that what you're going to do is you're going to fold the Mishnah up, meaning that both brachas are going to be recited over each of these phenomena. Meaning the bracha both of Kochum Ugvrasam Alei Olam and the bracha of Osem Asa Bereishis are going to be said. And so you just simply take the Mishnah, you fold it over, and you apply both of the brachos. Rava Amar Rava gives a different explanation. Hasam Mevarach Tarte, Baruch Shekochom Male Olam, Ve'osam Mesebreshis, Hacha Osam Mesebreshis Ika, Shekochom Male Olam Leika. Rava's approach is as follows. When talking about mountains and hills and oceans, so those are regional acts of Mesebreshis. And so therefore they don't manifest and spread to the entire world, as opposed to an earthquake, which the Gemara assumes is something that is universally felt, and the same thing with lightning, and the same thing with thunder, and so therefore they warrant a bracha of kochu gvrasam alei olam. But when it comes to the mountains, so since it's regional, so then the bracha is just osem asabrashis. Now the wording of Rava, if we can just go back and reread it, so hasam avarach tarte, so he says on those, meaning on the first listing, so you're going to make both brachas. The simple reading of Rava would indicate that one makes both the bracha of Osem Asabreshis and the bracha of Kochu Gvarsam Alei Olam. But if you can take a look at Tosos over here, he says that that's not the pshat. The pshat is that you can make either the bracha of Osem Asabreshis or the bracha of Kochu Gvarsam Alei Olam. So that means to say that when you are hearing thunder, you have the option of making either the bracha of Kochu Gvarsam Alei Olam or Osem Asabreshis. Minhag Yisrael is that when we see the lightning, we make the bracha of Osem Asabreshis, and when we hear the thunder, we make kochu gvrasam alei olam. But the truth of the matter is that you can really make either bracha on either of the phenomena. Am Rav Yishuv ben Levi haroeh rekia b'tarasa. Person sees the sky and it is totally clear, and it's a perfectly blue sky. Omer baruch oseh breishis. So the bracha you make is oseh masa breishis, because presumably that's the way that the heavens looked when HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally put it there. So Abai is specific that this bracha is only going to be said where it was raining over the course of the night and along comes a northern wind in the morning and moves all the clouds away. And now the Gemara points out that not everyone's in agreement, specifically Rav Chisda. The Amar Rav Raphim Bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, lo nearest rakib taharasa. We do not see the heaven as it was as clear at the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar al bishamayim kederot v'sak asim kisusam. The pasuk in Yeshayahu describes over here that based on Churban Beis HaMikdash, so there was almost like a blackening, a darkening of the heavens. And so even though from our perspective the sky looks blue, really clear blue, but from our perspective we don't see it relative to the way it was before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And so we're looking at a darkened version of what the Beis HaMikdash actually was. We're now in the very top of Nun Testament Beis. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara, is going to introduce us now to the idea of Birchas HaChama. If I could just say over the point of the Gemara really succinctly before, starting with the actual Gemara itself, the idea of the Gemara actually is very simple. When we see the sun in the same position that it was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, so obviously now it's reminiscent, it reminds us of the actual act of HaKadosh Baruch Hu affixing the sun as part of the world. And so therefore, once the bracha, Vosa Maaseh Bereishis, it's no different than any of the other Gemaras that we just learned together. That when you see an act of creation, so the bracha is Vosa Maaseh Bereishis, when we see the sun as it originally was at the time of Bereishis, so then we're going to be making that bracha. Where the Gemara becomes complex is determining exactly when the sun is going to be in the same position was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. The Braisa starts off, Haro Chama b'tkufa sa, if you want were to see the sun in its tkufa, and Levana b'gvura sa, and the moon in its strength, v'kochavim b'mesila sam, and the planets in their pathways, and mazalos kesidran, and the mazalos as they are in order, Omer Baruch Oseh Bereishis. So the bracha is going to be Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. The Amos. Now, the Braisa does not give us any details in terms of when this will be. The Braisa just simply says that if I see it in the position that it was at the time of Bereishis, so then it warrants the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. And the Gemara says, and when should this be? Amar Rabbi Kol Chav Ches Shenin. It's going to be 28, every 28 years. V'had Machzor. And then what's going to happen is that you will have the cycle going back to its original point. V'nafal Tkufas Nisan B'Shavasai, where the Tkufa of Nisan is going to be in Shabbasai, Saturn. I'll explain that better in just a moment. But Ursa Detlas, at the night of the third day, Nage Arba'a, the beginning of the fourth day, otherwise known as Tuesday night. And what the Gemara over here is making reference to is the following, and that is that when you have the sun going back to its original position, which occurs once every 28 years, so then it warrants the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. The Gemara over here is extraordinarily complicated in basically what it's looking at, meaning it's looking at a number of variables that need to reset back to its original position in order for the bracha to be said and Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. Without going too far into the details, I will just introduce us to a couple of very basic ideas. Planetary influences. This is an interesting idea that the Gemara over here is clearly subscribing to, and that is that the planets have influence on this world. Now, when we talk about planetary influences, this is in distinction to the constellation of the stars that are fixed in the sky, and the constellations obviously have their influences. We learned that earlier, but the planets also have their influences. Now, when we say planets, we're really describing seven planets. Now, I say planets, it just simply means it's those items up in the sky that have an orbit. Now, what can be seen by the naked eye? Five planets: Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Neptune. And of course the sun and the moon. If you actually think about the days of the week, there are 7 days of the week, and each one of them is assigned to a planet. Speaking English, you don't really hear this so well, although Sunday and Monday you do, Sunday meaning sun, Monday meaning moon, but if you speak a Latin language, so you actually hear it. Sunday is for the sun, that's domingo. Monday is for the moon. In Spanish, it's lunes. Tuesday is viernes. That's for Venus. Wednesday is miércoles. That's Mars. Thursday, jueves. That's for Jupiter. Friday, Go back. I'm sorry. Made a mistake. Sunday, Monday, I got right. Tuesday's Martis. That's Mars. Okay, sorry. And Wednesday, Miraculous. That's Mercury. Okay, now corrected. Thursday's Chavez is Jupiter. I got that one right. And Viernes is Venus. And Sabado is Saturn. Now, the planetary influences did obviously create the names for the days of the week, because the understanding is that these planetary influences had impact on each day. The truth of the matter is that the schedule for the planetary influences is recorded here in Rashi, where you can see Rashi how the planetary influences actually operate in an hour schedule, meaning for every hour, each planet has its own influences. So it's clear, the way Rashi sets it up, is that these planetary influences is not based on the orbit that these planets have around the Earth, but just simply based on a tradition that each planet operates with its influence for 1 hour, then shifting over power to the next planet, etc., etc. Anyway, when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sun on the fourth day of creation, so he, so to say, hung the sun up at the beginning of the fourth day, which is what the Gemara just described as the evening of the evening after the third day, the eve of the fourth day. And at that time, the planet that had influence was that of Saturn. And you can go through Rashi over here, where Rashi says that it takes 28 years in order for these two to become aligned once again, where you're going to be having the sun coming in the Tekufa of Nisan that also coordinates with the planetary influence of Saturn. And you can see Rashi for a little bit more description, although Rashi doesn't really speak much about it, but Rashi does give a little bit more information in terms of why this happens every 28 years. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Aroa Hayam, someone who sees the ocean, Leprakim. Now the Gemara says, now the ocean warrants the bracha of Osem Asabrishis, but only at intervals. At Kama, what are those intervals? Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Asholshim Yom. It's going to be intervals of 30 days. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Haroa Pras, Agishra Debavo, Omer Baruch Osem Asabrishis. Now, if you see the Euphrates River is part of my Sabratius. It's actually identified as one of the four rivers that left the Gan Eden. And so if you see the Euphrates, so that's obviously part and parcel of my Sabratius, and therefore it wants the bracha of Osem HaSabratius. Now, Va'ayin Dishnuya Parsai, Mi Beish Shvor Ula'el. Now, nowadays, the Persians got their hands on the river and diverted the river. So in terms of the river being, going, dating back to the time of my Sabratius, it is only true from Beish Shvor and above, and upstream from Beis Shavur, but anything downstream from Beis Shavur, because it was diverted by the Persians, so therefore it is not representative of the way it was at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, and therefore does not deserve its own bracha. Rav Yosef Amra Mi'iu Dekiri Ula'el. And Rav Yosef says, actually, it's from the area of Ii Dekiri, another area that banks along the Euphrates. He believes that it's from that point that the Euphrates has been diverted. And so therefore, only upstream from there, you can make the bracha of Osem HaSabratius. V'amar Rabbi Rami Bar Abba Haroa Diglas Agishra Dishvistana Omer Baruch Osem HaSabratius. So if you see the Tigris River, again, one of the four rivers that was described in my Sabratius, and you see it from the bridge of Shvistana, so anywhere upstream from there, it's Osem HaSabratius. My Chideko, why is the Chideko referred to as the Chideko? Amar Vashi, Shemem of Chadim V'Kalim. Because the waters of the Chidekel are very sharp and very light. My pras in terms of the Euphrates, why is it called pras? Shemeimav parim v'ravim. Because its waters are literally fruitful and multiply. Now it could be a reference to the fact that the source of the water of the Euphrates keeps multiplying, or it could be that it has beneficial effects for those who drink it. Amareva haide charifi b'nei mechuzah mishum deshasum haide diglas. The people of Mechuzah are very sharp, and that's because they drink from the diglas water. Haide gichurei, the fact that they're very reddish in color, mishum deshamsham and biyamama, because they have relations and they conceive during the day. Behind the naidi, einayim mishum dedari bebeis afal. And the fact that their eyes are constantly roaming around is because they live in dark houses, and so they are not used to bright lights. And once you see them in the bright lights, so their eyes have a hard time adjusting. Al hagishamim. Over rain, one makes the bracha. Al gshamim atova ameitav mevarich. So the bracha over rain is atova ameitav. V'hamer Rabbi Abba v'amir la b'masisa tana me'emasa mevarchin al gshamim mishiatsu chasan likras kala. Now the Gemara over here quotes a braisa, which is that the appropriate time to make the bracha over rain is when the chasan greets the kala. This is an analogy. It means to say as follows, and meaning it's not just the beginning of the rain, but the rain now is so intense that there's already puddles on the water. And so as the subsequent rain is splashing on the puddles on the water, so the rain from below is now greeting the rain from above, and that is the appropriate time to make the bracha. My mevarchin, what is the bracha that one makes over the rain? Amar Yehuda, modim anachnu lecha kol tipa v'tipa sharata lanu. So the Gemara gives one nosach of Rav Yehuda, where we thank God for every drop of rain. Rav Yochanan Masayim Bahachi. Rav Yochanan concludes Ilupina Malishira Kayam. Basically, you go through Nishmas, the nusach of Nishmas, Ein Anu Maspikim, Lodosach Hashem Elkeinu, Atishtachaveh. And it's a good section of Nishmas, all the way to Atishtachaveh, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rov Hahodaos. And the conclusion, the chasim of the bracha, is going to be Rov Hahodaos. Rov Hahodaos v'lo kol Hahodaos. The Gemara right now is slightly confused, because Rov Hahodaos could be explained in one of two ways. Either it could mean that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the multiplicity of brachos, that's Rov, but it could also be understood as the majority. And that is going to be very confusing, because if it's meant as a majority, it means that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for most everything, but that, of course, is insufficient. We should be thanking for everything. Amarava ema hakel haodos. So Rava says, well, maybe the way to conclude it now is to say hakel haodos. Amarapapa hilkach nimrin l'tarvayu. Rav haodos vekel haodos. And Rav Papa, as he does numerous times throughout our Masechta, so he, in fact, he already did it once in today's daf. This is going to be now a second time in which he does so. And that is, he joins the two brachas together. So you say Rav haodos and kel haodos. And apparently in doing so, so what is accomplished by doing so is that you understand that the word rov over here does not mean majority, but it just simply means in the multitude of brachas. Ve'el akasha, so the Gemara says, okay, but when all said and done, it's confusing. Because when exactly is going to be the point where one is going to be making a bracha, or specifically, which bracha is one going to be making? Lokasha hadashama mishma hadachazimechse. So the Gemara says, well, the difference whether you see the rain or you hear about the rain. So the Gemara says, "Hadachazimechse." Deshama mashma hainu besuras tovos. What do you mean? If you're hearing about rain, somebody reports to you that rain comes down. V'tanan al besuras tovos amar bracha tov ha-meitiv. So we all know that the bracha one makes over here in good news is a tov ha-meitiv. Eleid v'idi dechazimechse. So the Gemara says, "Agreed." So we're talking about where you see the rain. V'lo kasha hadasa porta. If it's just a little bit of rain coming down, so that is the original nusach that we said modim anachnu lecha kol tipa v'tipa. And then v'hada asa tuva, but if Allah is coming down, so then the bracha is going to be the longer version. So if he by saying v'hada asa tuva, the Gemara says, or maybe we're talking about where in both cases a lot of rain is coming down. V'lo kasha ad islay ara hadalei sa'ara. It's just a question of whether you have land or you don't have land. Islay ara tova meitiv. If you have land, so that means that you're going to be benefiting from the rain that comes down, so that's hatov ha-meitiv. V'ha, v'hatov ha-meitiv mevarch. V'ha banav ha-yischaros v'kana kelim chadash ma'omer barach she'achayan v'yigyan l'zman hazeh. The Gemara notes that we learned in a brisa that if one builds a new house or buys new clothing, so you make the barach of she'achayanu, and let's skip the next line as per the instruction of the Gaon. And lokasha hadi slay shutfos hadalei slay shutfos. So the Gemara says, well, she'achayanu is said on something that you acquired for yourself, where you're the only one who benefits from it. Tova meitiv is a bracha that you make when you, together with somebody else, is going to be benefiting from it. Behantanya, and the Gemara says, and this distinction is in fact a good distinction. This hay over here before hatanya is there to support. Ksar shaldaver summary. Ashalohu omer baruch she'achayanu v'kimanu. If it's something that belongs to you and you're the only one who's going to be benefiting, so shechianu al shalov al shal chaver. But if it belongs to somebody else, sorry, if you own it and it's shared by a friend, omer bracha tov ha-meitiv. So the bracha is going to be a tov ha-meitiv. V'chol heichad aleis leila achrin ba'adei lamavar ha-tov ha-meitiv ha-tanya. The Gemara says this is true. Let's compare it to another brisa. Amru lo yalda ishto zachar omer bracha tov ha-meitiv. So when your wife has a boy, so the bracha you're going to be making is a tov ha-meitiv. So the Gemara says, "Hasanam nika ishta bahade the nicha la bezacher." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? That is the benefit that is going to be enjoyed by both you and your wife." Tashma, meisaviv v'hu yosho b'tchila omer baruch dina emes ulvesof omer baruch atov ha-meitiv. Found the news of the death of one's father. So one starts off with the baruch dina emes for the lost and atov ha-meitiv for the financial gain. Hasanam diika ache de kayase bahade. The Gemara says again that Bryce is talking about where there are others who are inheriting with you. And that therefore demands a tov ha-meitiv. Tashma, the Gemara teaches us another brisa, shinu yain and tzarich levarach. when new wine is brought to the table, so you do not need to make a new bracha bar pir agafen. Shinui makom tzarech levarach. But if it's a new location, so you have to make a new bracha. V'amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan afapisha amru. Shinui yain ain't tzarech levarach. It's true that when new wine is brought to the table, you do not need to make a new bar pir agafen. Ava omer bracha tov ha-meitiv. But still, you have to make a bracha tov ha-meitiv over the new wine. And again, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that it seems like you're right now the only beneficiary. The Gemara says, no, there are other people there at the table who are benefiting from the wine, and as a result of that, the bracha is going to be atov ha-meitiv. In terms of the additional bracha of atov ha-meitiv over wine, it sounds like from the Gemara that this is something specific to wine, that the additional bracha atov ha-meitiv is made when new wine is introduced to the table, even though a new bar pir agafen does not have to be added. Why was this added specifically for wine, this bracha of atov ha-meitiv? So see the top tosos on the Amud who discusses that in greater detail. Let's quickly review the daf. We talked about the brachas that are made over a comet. We talked about the various traditions that we had regarding the shooting comet, and the Gemara dealing with the fact that they had traditions regarding a comet not going through certain constellations, and meanwhile they see that it does go through the constellation, and how to resolve that. Gemara taught us that one makes a bracha also over an earthquake. What is the explanation of the earthquake? The Gemara gave us five different explanations of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings an earthquake into this world, meaning in response to what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing the earthquake. The Gemara talked about the bracha one makes over thunder, four explanations of how thunder comes about. The Gemara gives actually physical explanations of how thunder comes into being. Gemara discussed what seems to be a hurricane and the brachas that are made over a hurricane. Interesting, I could just simply add. It's interesting, one would be making a bracha over a hurricane. Generally, it has destructive forces. And the idea that one is going to be making a bracha over something that is so destructive in nature in of itself is interesting. But apparently, it has to do more with the fact that it reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the creator of the world. We talked about the bracha that one makes on a rainbow. Where a puppet synthesizes the two different nuschaos to make one bracha. There was an ancient custom of bowing to the rainbow, but the Gemara rejected that custom because it obviously gives the appearance that you are actually bowing to the rainbow. The Gemara tries to clarify which brachas are said over which natural events. Our Mishnah introduces us to two brachos, and Abai and Rava try to resolve how exactly these two brachas work together. Rava's position, the accepted position, is that over the things that are far-reaching and have a worldly effect, so then the bracha is going to be kochu gvrasam male olam, as opposed to those things which are more regional, like mountains or oceans. So then the bracha is osam asibreshis. And the way Tosos understands Rava's answer is that for those things which are that fill up the entire world, you have a choice where you can make either kochu gvrasam male olam or the bracha of osam asibreshis. That's the way Tosfos understands Rava's answer. The top of the Amud Beis, we talked about Birchas Hachama. When you see the sun in the same position it was at Ma'aseh Bereishis, you make the bracha. That is the simple understanding of the Gemara, when exactly that occurs, once every 28 years. How do we get to that formula? That's where it got complicated. The Gemara talked about seeing the ocean, you only make a bracha at intervals. The Gemara went on to describe that when you see rivers as it was at the time of Bereishis, so then you make a bracha, and because human intervention and the Persian government redirected a lot of the river, so then that is not something you make a bracha over because that's not the way it was presented at Ma'aseh Bereishis. One makes a bracha on rain. The Mishnah says that you make a tov ha-meitiv on rain. On the other hand, we have a tradition that you make another bracha of modim anachnu lecha. And the Gemara tried to resolve when one makes the bracha of atov ha-meitiv versus one makes the bracha of modim. And then finally, the Gemara concluded with the wine, and that over the wine that is going to be introduced at a meal, new wine that's introduced at a meal, so one makes the bracha atov ha-meitiv, and that is it for tomorrow. We continue with the bracha of Shechianu in tomorrow's daf.